We are heading into perhaps the most consequential local election in recent memory. Forecasters are expecting big gains for Reform and the Lib Dems and a bad showing for Labour and the Tories. Could we be looking at the end of the two-party system? To make sense of what comes next, please do come along to our local elections shake-up event. Join the Spectators panel and special guests Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg and Zia Yusuf as they analyse the results on the 7th of May at the Emmanuel Centre in Westminster. For tickets, go to www.spectator.co.uk/local-elections-live.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm James Seal. I'm delighted to be joined today by Michael Gove, the editor of The Spectator. Now, Michael, it's kind of a strange sort of local elections. Tomorrow we're expecting the two big parties certainly are sort of almost singing from the same hymn sheet, which is that they're both saying these election night results are going to be very bad, you know, midterm blues, etc. They're going to be saying similar lines. We decided to do a podcast today talking about how you sort of spin a difficult media round, because they'll be out tomorrow. And imagine, I'm not going to put a bet on it, but I might wonder perhaps, you know, Pat McFadden or Wes Streeting, some of the more perhaps adept spinners will be out there for the government and perhaps the same for the Conservatives tomorrow. Do you ever do a media round after one?
Oh, yes, countless. And normally it would be the case that party headquarters will prepare a sort of variety of different scenarios. Mm. So you'll have a draft script if things exceed expectations, if things are broadly in line with expectations, or if they're worse. And again, the basic formula is you offer a qualified but apparently sincere acknowledgement that things haven't gone quite as well as they might have done. And then you find reasons or justifications for that, which attempt to move on from the central charge that you are rubbish and you know you are. And you also, famously, try to find some spot of light, some aspect of the election result which you argue hasn't received enough scrutiny but actually shows that the analysis of your critics is wrong and things are actually more propitious than the media commentary would have people believe.
And of course, the most famous example of that probably being with these local elections was Ken Baker, 1990, went out after a pretty dreadful set of election results for the Tories and went, ah, no, we've got Westminster, we've got Wandsworth, these are our flagship councils, this shows the poll tax is popular. And of course, he did lose perhaps the greatest post-war prime minister 6 months later after that. But the point was, you know, he was able to sort of spin that as a media narrative. And so I wonder perhaps, you know, with tomorrow, it's just going to be all about sort of talking about certain areas and ensuring that the... Yeah.
Precisely. So in that media round, Ken Baker was asked, Neil Kinnock, who was leader of the Labour Party at the time, he'll be waking up with a smile on his face this morning, not Margaret Thatcher, won't he? And quick as a flash, Ken Baker replied, yes, of course he will, because the Conservatives have taken Ealing Council, where Neil Kinnock lives, so his council tax, his community charge, will be lower this morning, as they will in Westminster and Wandsworth. So there was, about Ken Baker, both a brass neck and a silver tongue. And there was a professionalism in being able, whatever the challenge, to divert it back to the good news. And I imagine that whatever happens overnight, the Conservatives will want to light on those areas where they will have prevailed. And I think at this point, the most likely point of light, though I may be left with egg on my face tomorrow morning, will be the Cambridge and Peterborough mayoral election, where Paul Bristow, very effective campaigner, appears to be in the lead in the polls. So attention will be focused there. We'll be told that that's a key marginal area, that currently Labour-held Peterborough, currently Lib Dem-held Ely and East Cambridgeshire, they're moving in the right direction. But it will be difficult for the Conservatives because they will inevitably lose seats compared to the high watermark of 4 years ago. And we will hear again and again about the fact that the last time these elections were fought, Boris Johnson was Prime Minister and the Conservatives were enjoying a vaccine bounce. Labour, I think, will also try to change the narrative in a particular way. They will find that in certain parts of what used to be called the Red Wall, possibly Doncaster, possibly Durham, they're doing much worse than they should. But what they will try to do is to make it a story about reform overtaking the Tories. And they will try to, in a way, divert attention from their own travails by turning it into a question about civil war on the right.
Absolutely. And in terms of those sort of media rounds that you did, I mean, there was one famous occasion, I think, where you got in a lift where it broke down, so you were late for a media round. But what were the sort of memorable media rounds that sort of stuck out?
Well, the key thing about media rounds is sometimes you have to try diversionary tactics. And on a couple of occasions, I think I probably went too far in trying to change the narrative. Mm. One occasion was quite successful when I managed to, not because of any genius on my part, but just because of a suggestion from one of my spads, whose identity I will cover, which was to use a new coinage. So when it was suggested that a particularly bad set of election results meant that there should be a leadership challenge, I said, that's bonkeroony. And so the sheer act of coining a new phrase managed for at least a few hours to change the narrative. There was another occasion, though, in some of the difficult and dark days when I can't remember if it was Boris or Rishi was Prime Minister, when I attempted to channel my inner fast show and did a Scouse calm down phrase.
I remember that. Capital letters, big news story.
Yes, and I think that attempt to try to divert attention from what was actually the issue, probably wasn't as successful as it might have been. I do remember, though, not a media round, but another example of attempting to change the narrative, which I heard about, witnessed, but wasn't there for. Mm. When Ian Duncan Smith was facing a really tough time as leader, shortly before, in fact, he fell, he called an impromptu press conference outside central office, and issued his famous unite or die message. He came back in, and he turned to the team who were preparing him for Prime Minister's Question Time, which included Boris Johnson, George Osborne, David Cameron, and Paul Goodman. And he said, well, that certainly got the media's attention. And George Osborne said, yes, a bit like the Buddhist monk who's just set fire to himself in Thailand. And I think at that point, George probably recognised that his wit,
yes,
which those who know him will appreciate, had probably better be, what's the word, used guardedly in the future. So again, the diversionary tactic, which is the one most often deployed when you have bad election results, is something that has to be carefully calibrated.
But, I mean, you make the point about wit. I suppose it could be a double-edged thing, really. I mean, I think one of the best government performers on the media round tends to be Wes Streeting, because he can be quite quick-witted. You remember after the freebie stuff last year, you know, Taylor Swift concerts, he was asked and sort of gave a pun on one of her songs, Shake It Off, etc. He obviously spent a huge amount of time preparing himself, you know, testing sort of lines, etc. Yeah. How do you get good at the media round? Or is it just something that, you know, you tend to be, is it practice, or is it sort of just something that's natural or not?
Well, there are different styles and different approaches. Yeah. So I have to say that I think the government's best performer is Pat McFadden, because you know, he is the Jeffrey Boycott of the government.
Dead batting.
Exactly. And it requires great patience, never to rise to any provocation, to maintain an evenness of tone, and to treat triumph and disaster just the same. And that's what he does. He's never riled. He doesn't exaggerate. He calms things down. So he's a Xanax in the glass of water for the Labour Party whenever there's a moment of worry or fear. Thinking back to days in government, one of our best performers in that regard was Grant Shapps, because Grant again had the gift, and he has a slightly different approach of, he has a gentle, mellifluous approach. And again, he was one of those people who, a bit like the Black Knight in Monty Python, no matter how grievous the loss, would say it was a flesh wound, but would say it not in a spirit of defiance, but in a spirit of sweet reasonableness. And that meant that he was someone who, if you woke up, you looked at your phone and you saw that it was a very bad night for your party, and then you flicked on the radio and it was Grant, then things would always seem just that little bit brighter, because he had the capacity not to make an outrageous claim, but to be able to contextualise.
And in terms of the people you feared being interviewed by, I mean, you were seen, John Humphreys, presumably, famously, and sort of Paxman at different points. I was watching, bizarrely, the other day, you versus Alistair Campbell, when it was talking about David Cameron's decision to stand for a... said he wouldn't go for a third term as Prime Minister.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And Alistair Campbell was arguing this was going to be the end of the government or something like that. But, I mean, in terms of which sort of... was there any ones that were sort of deceptive in how they tried to sort of disarm you?
Well, again, there are some interviewers and some presenters who are more difficult to deal with than others. So, curiously, Richard Madeley on Good Morning Britain,
because
he operates outside the SW1 norms. Framework, yes, and norms, he will ask questions, again, with a sweet smile and reasonableness of tone, that may be the question that someone in the country is thinking of, but the political classes can't anticipate. Mm-hmm. And so you can suddenly find yourself stuttering to try to come up with a reasonable answer to a question for which you weren't prepared. One other interviewer, now sadly no longer on the Today programme, whom I dreaded being interviewed by, was Michal Hussein, because, again, she was calm, forensic. There wasn't any attempt to be histrionic or performative about it, but she was persistent and deadly. Sometimes it's the case that the interviewers who are the most pyrotechnic in style, like Paxman, who are obviously entertaining to watch, are the easier to deal with. Because if it's a straightforward fencing match,
yep,
then, you know, that is something that politicians generally are prepared for. But if it's a cool dissection, that's more difficult.
Well, we look forward to seeing who the government puts up tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised, given the way the polls are looking, if it is Pat McFadden. I think my favourite media rant he did, though, was I think it was at last conference when he was asked about his reputation as being being quite uptight. And he was like, I'm a ray of sunshine. And I think his team were laughing at that. Basically, it was just the way in which you sort of had this like calmly delivered line with this sort of grim face, which is beautiful.
You know, exactly. You know, he's a brilliant deadpan style. There's a Scottish comedian called Chick Murray, who I think only older listeners will be familiar with. But Pat McFadden manages to have that wonderful deadpan style when he offers a witty line, which he does rarely, and therefore they're all the more precious. But if I were in number 10, I would put Pat up tomorrow. And for the Conservatives, I would probably put up Alex Burkott tomorrow, because, again, Alex has that calmness of tone, which I think will probably be required. Who Reform put up? Well, let's wait and see.
I suspect the answer might be Nigel Farage on a victory lap, if it's good. Thank you, Michael. And just to plug as well, tomorrow we'll be doing our first ever election night style coverage in terms of a live production, 3 to 4 in the afternoon. You can watch it on Spectator YouTube channel. And it'll be me sort of cosplaying as Dimbleby, Paxman, all the sort of different anchors all tied into one. May even sort of have a Robin Day style cigar if I'm lucky in the studio, because of course we'll be exempt from Ofcom. Sort of the unfiltered truth coming out, but that'll be me and a whole bunch of guests talking about the election night. So thank you very much for listening to Coffee Hour Today, and hopefully tune in tomorrow.